Okay, welcome everybody to another episode of Tarpon World Radio. This is Captain Barry, and today I'm joined by Mr. Eric Spears and Scott Arthur Mason.
Hello. Hello.
How's it going? What's going on?
Good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Good. For a little background for everybody, these are my two childhood friends. We grew up in Punta Gorda. We both went to Charlotte High School, drifted our different ways in college, and we have been reunited through fishing, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you guys say so?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, especially yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
What did we do yesterday, Eric? Let's give a little brief recap here.
I caught my first shark thanks to Captain Barry.
What about you, Scott?
I didn't fish yesterday, but I caught it all on Barry's Instagram channel.
You saw it all. You caught all the fish on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
So our topic today, everybody, is we are going to talk about how you can fish in general, especially shark fish, on a budget. And how to go about that, because that is something that I feel is overlooked, where a lot of people feel like you need the newest and latest gear that's out to catch fish.
Yeah, that's my mantra of like my whole life right now, is I'm so thrifty. That's pretty much my profession now, is I'm a professional thrifter. And it just lines up with my whole reduce, reuse, recycle, find stuff for deals, and cut costs pretty much any way you can to lower the barrier to entry.
Exactly. Yeah. And as what brought us together today on this episode is Scott and Eric both caught their first sharks on used gear. They didn't have to go out and buy new, like, brands making new reels and rods to do this. And for Scott, on your side, you want to tell everybody how you went about that?
Sure. So essentially, I was at home with my dad one day, and he just approached me, and he's like, hey, because I'd been out fishing with Barry a couple times before that, just at his house and everything, and he approached me, and he's like, hey, why don't you take a look at these reels over here? He just had them laying around in the garage from some of my grandfather's stuff that we had inherited, and pulled them out, took some pictures, shot them over to you, Barry, and what was your reaction when you got to see them?
Well, my reaction, first off, was when I saw your grandfather's reel, for everybody, it was one of those like 1970 International 30 wides. It was gold. It had like no scratches. It was basically in mint condition with like the original 20-pound test line on there. And I was just like, do you really want to use this, Scott? Like, this is mint. Like, this is just still looks like it came out of the box from like 40 plus years ago. And I know it was like, you didn't even hesitate. Like, yes, this is my grandfather's reel. He passed away. I would love to catch a fish with my, like, the memory of catching a fish with a reel that your grandfather owned.
Right. And that was just kind of my thing. And when you have those kind of items like that, I mean, keeping them kept away in a box, it doesn't do them any good, because they're meant to be used. Yeah. And so I want to be able to get out there and use
the
that.
The best thing you can do is use it or turn it into a shelf piece. But when it's a shelf piece, you just get to look at it. So
exactly.
It's a lot more
exactly.
fun to get hands on.
Yeah. Exactly. And so on Scott's side of the story, this was about, what, 4 or 5 months ago, we saw the reel. Scott had another old rod that happened just to match up to it. It was like the perfect balance. I'm like, Scott, this is your little shark setup. All we need is line. So we came here to Fish and Franks. We put about 300 yards of 80-pound braid on there.
Yep.
And topped it off with 100-pound mono. Right. And literally 2 hours later, I think you caught your first shark and a really nice, your biggest shark. Your first shark was what? Tell everybody.
It was a 7-foot lemon shark.
Yeah.
Dang.
That was the first fish he caught in it. And like, that was less than, I'm not exaggerating, less than 10 minutes of it sitting on the bottom.
Yeah, it was crazy. It happened just like that. So it was awesome.
I remember I turned to Scott and I'm like, Scott, like, this is your grandfather. Like, this is the coincidences, everything that kind of lined up. I'm like, this is like your grandfather saying, thank you for using my reel. Here's your first biggest shark ever. And it was.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. It was surreal.
And lemon, like, you said the reel was gold?
Yeah.
Lemons are yellow, which is kind
exactly.
of like gold. So
it's a pretty sick setup.
I see some signage there.
Yeah. It's a nice, it's a gold reel with like a purple rod.
It's so cool.
And some, neon green
mono on it. Yeah, it's high-vis mono. So the Scott's combo, for everyone to visualize, it has high-vis mono. It's like a purple rod with, like, purple wrap on it, and then a gold reel. So
stylish and functional.
Yes.
Like, super, like, Mardi Gras colors. That's just the vibe that it gives off. It's awesome.
You might as well take that to New Orleans next and go catch fish with that thing up there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then shortly after that, we put another bait. We didn't have to wait 20 minutes, and you caught, like, a 4-foot bull shark.
Exactly.
3.5-4 foot, but still, two species in, like, less than an hour.
Oh, yeah.
On a setup that was just going to collect dust in your garage.
Was this a couple months ago? What time of year was it?
It was, like, April-ish.
Yeah, it was April. Okay. I think it was in April.
Yeah, that's when a lot of the sharks start moving around in the Charlotte Harbor.
So it was good timing.
Yeah. Very good timing, yes.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah, so I think that's a pretty cool story on your end.
That's all. That blows what I got out of the water.
I mean,
7 foot in 10 minutes.
We'll switch to Eric's story here in a second. But Scott, what would you say? Because I mean, what did that symbolize to you? Like, when you caught something on your grandfather's rod and reel, basically.
Like, yeah, I mean, it really felt like I had another connection, sort of after, you know, he's not around anymore, and so that was a big thing. And also just realizing that like. All it is, I mean, with anything in life, but like with this, like you just got to go from zero to one. You just got to do it. You can't just sit on something and let it collect dust or something like that. If you want to go out and do it, you more than likely have the ability to go do that.
Yeah.
And so actually going out and doing it and doing what you want and what you enjoy, I think that was the biggest takeaway for me. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And for everybody out there that obviously loves fishing, Scott caught both his bull shark and the lemon shark on chunks of mullet. That's all it took.
Yeah.
It was just a 9-0 circle with about a foot and a half of wire and a chunk of mullet. That was it. We already had 100...
Frozen mullet?
It was actually fresh mullet.
Fresh mullet, okay.
Yeah, we caught it like that day, and that was it. Frozen will work too, mm-hmm. but the fresher the better. That's how I see it.
Right.
So whoever's out there trying to catch sharks, it was that simple of a rig. We only had 90-pound like single-strand wire 9-0 circle hook to a little swivel, and we had 100-pound mono as like the, I guess you could say, top shot, so that was gonna not pop with all the abrasion of a shark skin, and it was that basic and that simple.
Right.
So now so that's the first story of how you can turn vintage reels, basically, or with memories, and from in Scott's case his grandfather's reel, to catching sharks or whatever other species you may want. And now we're going to jump into what I did with Eric yesterday. And before we get into that story, Eric, as he said, he loves thrifting. He loves finding things for a great price and recycling them and selling them on eBay. Where else do you sell them, Eric?
eBay, Amazon, Etsy. My biggest sale ever is one of the things that people always ask me about, and it's a vintage 50s Levi's Type 2 blanket line jacket that I found in mint condition. Bought it for $1.50 at a yard sale in Arizona, and I sold it on Etsy for $5,722. Went to Japan, and that happened just in April.
Wow.
March or April it sold.
So. At a yard sale.
At a yard sale.
You found this for
$1.50.
And you sold it for over $5,000.
Over $5,000, yeah. Almost $6,000, so it was pretty sick. I'm a professional treasure hunter. I've been doing this for a long time, and I don't know a lot about fishing, which is really exciting to learn from Barry about the gear, because I'm always in the trenches at thrift stores, garage sales, and I never know what to get for fishing stuff. So.
Right, and for everyone who wants to, because Eric's line of work is very interesting. It's fun to watch. Eric, you have a great YouTube channel.
Yeah, I post a lot of stuff on YouTube at The College Picker. It's kind of, I'm not in college anymore. I've graduated.
Uh-huh.
But I made the channel back when I was in college flipping stuff for beer money and just for fun. And kept the name just because it stuck. People call me CP online, and I also am very active on Instagram at The College Picker as well.
So everyone, that's The College Picker. If you type that into YouTube.
Type it into YouTube, all one word, it should pop up. You'll see me with a bunch of Nerf guns. Pointing him at the camera.
And that's Eric. So Eric and I reconnected back in the spring, and we're like, hey man, we need to do like combine both our passions. Eric's drifting, mine is fishing. So we decided when Eric was gonna be back in town, why not thrift?
Well, I do pawn shops too, so that's kinda we wanted to do thrifting, but we knew we could definitely do it at pawn shops. So we started doing looking for gear at one pawn shop.
We did.
Yeah. The goal was to catch a shark.
Yeah, the goal was to catch a shark.
And do it cheap.
Do it as cheap as possible. So And Eric's episode, you guys will see this. He is going to post this video in the next few days.
Yeah, I have a video on YouTube. We basically vlogged the entire day of us doing it to prove to people that it can be done. We spent under $100 for the both of us for full rigs, yes. Right? That's what they're called, rigs.
Oh, yeah, rod and reels.
Full rod reels and everything. We even got the hooks from the guy at the pawn shop for $1. And we bought mullet. I got my fishing license, which was an extra expense.
Yeah.
And we ended up, spoiler alert, we caught a shark. Same day.
And we did it all for two people under $100.
Yeah.
So the way our day started was we went to a Goodwill first thing in the morning. And, I mean, I'm sure you can fill in with me there, Eric. But once we got to the Goodwill, there was only one reel and there was, like, no rods.
Yeah. One reel that was broken.
Yes.
But it was the one you were saying, which was a good reel to pick up if it was working. And it was $17, which wasn't a terrible price if it was working.
Right. And to throw you guys some advice, one reel that I absolutely love, and I have 8 of them myself, and I've went to pawn shops and picked all of them up. And that's the Pen 4.0. It's the high speed, the one with, like, the red sides, or the Pen 6.0, which is a size larger. Those reels have been made for over, like, 40 plus years. And they have, you can always find parts for them. They're never going to, I have a funny story about one of them. They're never going to, like, go out of business. Pens, it's the brand company. They make great reels. They're not going to go out of business. And you can always find parts. And here's a plug for Lear's Economy and Tackle back in North Fort Myers. They service all my reels whenever I get them from pawn shops. I take it to them. They do a full cleaning. Let me know if there's any bearings that need to be replaced. And then those reels are good to go.
Nice. What do they charge you for that?
Around, for general cleaning, it's about $10.
Okay. That's not bad at all. Yeah.
Very reasonable.
And it makes it, like, as brand new as it could be. Probably feels like it's just right out of the box.
Yes, yeah. It does. Those reels, once they clean them out, they're good to go.
Yeah. That's awesome.
How hard are they to find?
They are not hard.
Well, we found one at the Goodwill. He was telling me about it in the car on the way to the Goodwill. He's like, this reel is the one you're going to see one. And we saw it at the Goodwill.
The first Goodwill we went to.
Yeah. Right, because that was the second reel that I had as well, right?
Yes, actually, the second reel that your grandfather had in his tackle box was a Pen 4.0 from, like, back in the 70s.
Yep.
And the only thing that's changed on these reels are the handles. They have white, black, and everything. But yeah, so let's get back to the story of our little thrifting adventure. So after we found that Pen 4.0, it didn't work, and it was $17. I'm like, no, we need to catch a shark today.
Yeah.
Let's go try another
shop. There was a pawn shop right across the street. They're called Port City Pawn in North Port, Florida, right off of Tamiami Trail. And they had fishing reels and rods hanging right outside the pawn shop, so we stopped there. And since I know nothing about fishing, I am probably a 1 out of 10 when it comes to fishing. Barry had to take over from there.
Yeah, they actually had a big rod rack out in the front. It was funny, Eric's like, because I know you thrift a lot in different states, like Arizona and Texas.
All over the place.
And you were like, I don't know if they're going to have much fishing, you know, gear. I don't see much of it when I go out to these places. And I'm like, we're in Florida. I guarantee you it's going to be they're
first pawn shop loaded.
The first pawn shop, yeah. As soon as, before you even walk in, there's this huge rod rack with all these vintage rods that people have, you know, pawned. And I looked through the entire rack, and boom, there's two rods and reels that already had line on them that was still in good condition.
Barry knows this off the top of his head. He can weed out the garbage or what we don't need. I don't know if it's necessarily garbage, but the stuff we don't need for our specific type of fishing that we were going for, he's like, okay, 90% of this is not what we want. These are, like, the two rods and reels that we want, and it was just amazing. It's like magic. He doesn't have to look anything up on his phone. He just knows it right off the top of his head.
Yes.
Yeah, so built-in knowledge.
I remember I picked
it's
those.
It's dangerous knowledge.
We start thrifting more pretty soon.
But
I remember I picked up those two rods, and I was like, these look the part. Now let me, you know, I tested out the handles and turned them. The drag work, the head line. I'm like, Eric, we just scored because the line's good on it. We're not going to spend money on that. The reels are functioning. They're old school. They're probably from the 80s, these two rods and reels we got.
But the prices weren't even that bad. They were asking was 20 and 20, 30 and 25, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
30 and 25.
And that, you know, that went up to 50. That's $55 right there. And we actually did a little bundle because one of the rods on one of the combos was just garbage. It was too stiff. I'm like, this is not going to fly. So I found another rod in one of the big bins they had, and We brought all three, the two with the reels and the extra one we had.
I think the one you grabbed was a Shakespeare Tidewater, 6'6".
That was it?
I think that was the one, yeah.
Okay. Do you have the names of the other two rods we picked up?
Yeah, the garbage one I did not write down, but the better one was a Mega Master Black Gold. It was about 6'6", medium action as well.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It had that rod had a little level wind black reel on it, about 30-pound mono. It probably had about 150 yards. It was perfect. And what we did, we bundled all three of them together. We took them to the counter because the price of all three of those rods was about
75, I think.
75, yeah.
Kirk was nice enough, the English guy at Port City Pawn, was nice enough to do 55 out the door. So
yeah,
we said 50. He shot back at 55. I shot back with out the door, no tax. He said sure.
Yeah, and we're like, done deal.
Yeah, let's get it done. I figured $25 or $27.50 or whatever with everything
for two shark out. Yeah, yeah, for two little shark combos, like.
And we were done. Like, we could go fishing for the rest of the day.
Right, and it wasn't until we got to the car we're like, how are we gonna get hooks?
Tackles,
yeah, like the terminal tackle we need, like wire.
Because we were trying to buy it secondhand or at least not from retail. That was the whole goal of the whole thing. So Kirk, the pawn shop guy. He was outside smoking a cigarette, and we said, hey, he started chatting, and said, oh, he's got some tackle in his trunk. So he hooked us up with those, what are they called, sea hooks?
Circle hooks
for $1. I don't know if that's a good deal, but he gave us like four of them.
Yeah.
So wait, he just had these in his trunk?
He had his tackle box with him in the trunk. He says he goes fishing every morning.
So yeah, that's
with
awesome.
In the trunk of
out
his
of
car.
A Kia Optima. That's his fishing rig. It was a Kia Optima Turbo.
Hey. You didn't see it coming. It's so discreet.
Yeah, at all. Yeah. He's just like, oh, I got some in the boot.
There you go. He popped his
trunk. It was perfect for $1. He wanted to give it to us for free, but it just because of the YouTube video, I didn't want him to pay for it.
Yeah.
Just $1.
And I remember he popped his trunk. I didn't see any rods in this car. And on the bottom left, there's like six of them all lined up on the bottom left with like pen spin fishers, all this stuff. And he's an avid fisherman himself. And he pulled this tackle box with thousands of hooks. And he's just like, you know, here's three of them. And he also gave us for free. He's like, trust me, I don't use this anymore. He gave us this knotable wire leader.
Oh, yeah. He gave us the leader, too. He's like, now you're getting a good deal for $1.
Yeah. And that's like the American Fish and Wire knotable wire leader. He had a spool of that. He gave it to us and some hooks. And we were literally one-stop shop is what that was.
If he had any bait, he probably would have given it to us as well. But
yeah.
No bait at the pawn shop.
Thank you, Kirk. That was a very nice gesture.
Shout out to Kirk if you ever hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to send you a recording of this.
We didn't go over the reels that were on the rods, but it was a True Temper 923C made in the USA.
Okay.
And the other one was a Penn Long Beach 65. There so if that means anything to anybody out there, I know nothing.
No, that might get people to look in their garages and be like, I've got these reels and I can, you know, I can actually catch fish with these now that I know what the College Picker and Captain Barry caught with them. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So that was not the end of our adventure, however. We actually went to, after we got all the tackle, where did we head to after that?
Fish and Frank's.
Yeah.
Straight to Fish and Frank's. Look for some bait.
Yes. And we picked up two black mullet. Mullet is like the most base. It's as you guys, that fish, and you see that you're on the water, you see mullet jumping everywhere. That's like, other than shrimp, that's one of like the staple baits in this harbor. Or in a lot of places, not just here in Florida, but also in Africa, other areas. There's mullet everywhere. So that's a very common bait fish. You can't go wrong using mullet. And while we were at the store, it hit me because I just did a recording last week, a radio show, and that is there's new laws now from fishing for shark from land effective on July 1st. So, Eric,
I didn't have my license either, so I did get my license at Fish and Frank's first.
Right, so all like the legality came in. I'm like, oh no, Eric doesn't have a fishing
license. Extra $33, which brought us from 55 to 80. What is that? 88.
Yeah,
to $88, and I didn't have my license, so I had to buy it at Fish and Frank's, which was very convenient.
And to clarify, it was that much because Eric got both the saltwater and freshwater.
Saltwater, yeah, the combo, just in case I ever wanted to go freshwater fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's legit.
Yeah. And you've got yours too, right, Scott?
Yeah, that's
just,
right, yeah.
Just get it done. Might as well, instead of having to make another trip.
Yep.
And, yeah, so we, Eric, at the bait store, we got, at Fishing Frank's, we got the bait and took care of the license just like that. And we actually, Took like it. There was a big rainstorm, as typical as summer is here in Florida, and we went back and we went and took care of on the laptop. We had
Barry had his laptop in his car, so while the rainstorm rolled in, I was able to work on the laptop and get the actual specific shark modules done that Florida Fish and Wildlife make you do for the. And it is interesting to learn what sharks you are allowed to harvest and how to harvest them. And I mean, that's good. Protects the sharks and protects us, because that's probably one of the more dangerous animals to be hooking out of the harbor.
It definitely is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of the course? I mean,
It was good. They had a really good course, and they're very smart the way they do it, because you cannot do anything but the course. You have to hit play, sit there and watch it, leave the browser open. If you minus it, it slows you down, it stops. You can't do anything else. You just have to focus on the course.
Right. Wow. Yeah, like you can't.
And it was free. My favorite price.
Yeah,
$3.99.
$3.99 as a thrifter. Yes.
Yeah.
So no, that was one thing I was actually shocked when you were doing it. I didn't even try that like the first time I was doing it, just to see.
Yeah, I was multitasking, so I like minus the window and then it just stopped. So I was like, okay, they really want me to have this open and focus on it. So that's what we're gonna do.
Full attention on that course. So
learn about the sharks.
Yeah. After 20 minutes, you were done and you had your saltwater fishing license, your shark smart
course.
Was
a shark smart fisherman after 20 minutes.
There you go.
I got the certificate and everything.
And
it is a yearly annual, or it is a yearly thing. So everyone that has already taken it, make sure you do it every year.
Yeah, good. And then after that, we went to a local pier, Bayshore Pier. I know I fished there with you, Scott, and everything. It's a very common place to catch little sharks, and cobia even will show up. There's a lot of redfish in the shallows. But we went there for, what, about 2 hours or so, would you say, Eric?
Yeah, just chilling.
Chilling. People were
blasting music.
Let's paint the picture for
these
people.
Yeah, there was a JBL Bluetooth speaker at the tip of the pier blasting, but that's okay.
Yeah, just blasting music. I mean, it was a nice
it was chill
evening, but there was nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, they got a couple hits on some of the sail catfish.
Yeah, they caught.
And that was it.
That's the only thing we saw.
And they were little ones, too. Just like little itty bitty catfish.
Even if it was a big one, a big catfish is still not something to really brag about. I'm not going to lie. But after that, we got some dinner. We just hung out a little bit more and waited. Because we have an approaching full moon, I was like, Eric, it's going to happen, and it's going to be in the
evening. I was skeptical. I was not believing that we were going to catch a shark today.
Yeah, I could tell Eric was not doubting, but he had his woes throughout the entire day. Like, is this really going to happen? I'm like, Eric, don't worry, man. We're going to do it. And we went to another discreet location in the evening, and we put the two mullet back out that we got from Frank's. And how long would you say, Eric, it was?
It was maybe an hour. Yeah. Hour and 15 minutes.
Right after the sun went down and you could barely see.
Right when it started getting bad for filming conditions, because the golden hour was beautiful. The footage was coming out great when the sun was going down, but then as soon as it's dark is when it hit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was then that the rod doubled over and...
You immediately were like, that's a shark, grab it, turn the camera on. So we do have the entire capture on film on YouTube if you're interested in that, so... Yeah.
And ended up being about a 3-foot bull shark. No spoiler alert there, but it's I think it's gonna be a fun video for everyone to tune into.
Yeah, and the way Barry made me hold it, I grabbed it on the back of the head and held it up, and that sucker was probably like a 45-pound plate at the gym, and he's taking pictures, and my arm is just like shaking holding this bull shark up. I didn't know fishing was this muscular, intense. the way you fight them and the way you hold them, it does take some muscle.
Oh,
just wait until you throw a cast net.
Yeah.
That's how I got all my strength.
Yeah.
So what?
It was a success.
It was. Definitely was.
And now I have the rods. Yeah. I could keep using the rods or resell the rods and maybe make a little bit of money. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think you're going to do with those rods, Eric?
I'll probably hold on to them. Just, have them. Yeah. In case I go somewhere where there might be some beach shark fishing and just have the setups to try to catch something.
Yeah. That's good. So, well, thank you guys for coming on the episode today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
If we want to follow you on social media, Eric, where should we go?
The College Picker on Instagram is where I'm most active, or The College Picker on YouTube.
And how about you, Scott?
That's at Scott Arthur Mason on Instagram. So, at Scott Arthur Mason.
All right. And I'm Captain Barry as Tarpon World on Instagram. You can find me on YouTube as well as Tarpon World. Shoot me messages. Let me know what you guys want to hear more of. And I would love to connect with all of you. And until next episode, we'll talk to you soon.